Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready. On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, good to have you with us as we roll into hour number two. Really pleased to be caught up with our pal Jacob Albrock in from Eyewitness Sports after a late night with a little Sports Sunday. Now, right at it this morning, we appreciate his time. Shane will be back tomorrow. Jad Chambers produces. Good to have you with us at 869-1240. You can join the show at your convenience. We've spent most of the first hour, all of the first hour, in fact, on the NFL, the Chiefs in particular, some of the most recent Spygate by the Patriots, and the rest of the NFL and like. And the good news is that if you missed any of the show, all you got to do is just go to kfhradio.com and download any part of the show that you might have missed via the podcast. And take it with you and check it out. It's that simple. All right, hoops. Wichita State with a really, really nice win over Oklahoma. I tweeted this out, Jacob, and I really believe it, that they have, they, being the Shockers, have altered in a very positive fashion the trajectory of their season with two wins this week in Stillwater against Oklahoma State, who ended up going on the road and beating Houston, and Oklahoma, who's off to a very heady start themselves at 8-2, getting ready to head to Creighton. But the Shockers have they've increased their ceiling, they've changed their trajectory, and all of a sudden there are some things that are possible here that maybe we weren't thinking about in terms of the non-conference.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're 2-1 against the Big 12, right? You got the two wins this week. The Oklahoma game was encouraging for about 1,000 different reasons. The comeback was encouraging. The way they shut down Austin Reeves, and who's been an elite scorer this year, is encouraging. And the play of the freshmen continues to be a big story, whether it's one, you know, whether it's Sherfield or Etienne, or as long as you're getting it from one of them, everybody on the team seems to be getting better, right? No, but Dexter Dennis is missing something right now offensively, but he gave him some big free throws. He gave him some big defense. We got to see what's going on there, and maybe he can figure it out. But you've got so many different weapons. This feels, Bruce, like some of those great old Shocker teams, right? It doesn't have to be one or two guys. You don't know if you're the opposition who's going to be the guy in any given game.
Well, and they're ahead of schedule, Jacob, and that's the thing that I was thinking about over the weekend and in watching this unfold was, my God, they're so young. This is such, I mean, it's an experienced kind, it's a quote-unquote experienced team relative to last year.
Right.
Although in the grand scheme of things, still not a very experienced team. But for them to be 9-1 with the schedule that they've played at this time of the season with the A, injuries that they've dealt with, and B, the inexperience, is pretty damned impressive. And I was and that was a really nice win over an experienced basketball team that had really whipped them over the last couple of years, embarrassed them a year ago down in Oklahoma City, and then had come into interest, I believe it was 2 years ago, and had their way with them then, for goodness sake. So it was a really nice effort from a standpoint of maturity. Is that a good – I mean, was it – I thought it was
absolutely
a mature effort.
And
I thought it was an emotionally even keeled effort. I don't think that they allowed the moment to affect them. I think it inspired them. I think that they played better because of it. Those are very typical shocker things as we look at the success of Greg Marshall. The fact that it's coming this early. Now, look, who knows? I mean, we'll see what – I mean, they play early in the morning next Saturday against VCU. You never know, right? I mean, but we've seen two really mature efforts back-to-back against very capable top 40, top 35-type teams in Oklahoma State and Oklahoma to think that Wichita State's one of those teams. They're a top 35, 40 team right now, and – their ceiling is really pretty darn good. I mean, it's high.
Both of those teams are in the top 40 right now in KenPom. Wichita State right now by KenPom's adjusted defense is 11. That's the thing for me. They're doing the things that great shocker teams always do, and that's defend and rebound. The one blemish on the year was where they got beat up a little bit against West Virginia, big old physical team. There aren't a lot of teams like West Virginia, and I don't know that there will be a lot of teams that can out-physical Wichita State as they play on this season, and that's encouraging. And the growth of the players is encouraging. And I think you're right. I do think, realistically, they're ahead of schedule, for sure. The 10 underclassmen and one senior, one who's been hurt most of the season, and they're sitting here 9-1? Okay. I mean, who wouldn't take 9-1 right now?
Right.
I mean, if they beat VCU, Bruce, I think that they'll probably be in the top 25, which I thought they would do at some point this year, but I didn't know it would be before the new year.
Well, you know, and the belief, boy, when you win, you just cannot underscore the importance of winning games like that and what it does for a team's confidence. If this was a – and now look, Wichita State over the last half of last year and the start of this year has lost what, like two or three games? I mean, they're like 24-3 or something like
it's
that.
Something
I don't
remember
the exact number.
But yeah,
I mean,
I can't remember
like,
the exact losses. It's 24
wins. They've been really
though.
Heady, and they played good. They played good people during that stretch. But – for this group and this incarnation to see these types of things come together, this is when you have a chance to be a really good basketball team because the stuff you're being taught is A, making sense, and B, is paying off. That's what you want with a team. You want a team that sees all of their work, and believe me, Wichita State works. They want to see all of that pay off. And then when you get that payoff, man, it just makes you want more.
And there the work of the internal competition is what I was going to say there.
Huge.
The work that they're putting in every day against each other. I mean, the rotation is it's 10 or so now, and it's going to stay there. So what are you going to do to get your minutes, to get your shots? Really, it's all about minutes right now. What are you going to do to get those minutes? That work being done every day is likely, and you know, I'm not in the room, is likely as important as anything that's happening on game days. Game days is those are the reward, right? I mean, that's the fun part.
I agree. It was great to see Tyson Etienne step up and hit a big shot at a key time. It was great to see guys contribute. To your point, Jacob, they don't have – I mean, there are go-to guys that you can get, and you got to be able to identify the hot hand. Obviously, Eric Stevenson played extremely well on Saturday, and it was great to see, by the way. But they've got a lot of different areas that they can go to. And so – this is a team that I'm really interested in seeing how they continue to grow. Because you're right, they are getting better. I mean, this is a team that they got better in a week. They got a hell of a lot better in the week before Oklahoma State, and they got better this week from Oklahoma State to Oklahoma.
So Greg mentioned last week that he's seen the ceiling rise. He's seeing a rising ceiling after the Oklahoma State game. Just such a kind of a dominant win on the road like that. But now it's probably I think you probably feel better about the ceiling. I don't know what people's ceilings have been. My ceiling's always been top four in the conference, make the tournament.
Right.
Well, now it's probably
top
two in the conference, maybe, because Cincinnati is clearly flawed. I think they can be better than Houston, and we'll see what happens with Memphis. I mean, the thing about Houston is they have an elite player in Grimes, and they've been there. And Memphis obviously is what Memphis is, especially when they get Wiseman back. And they had maybe the biggest win in the conference this year, this weekend, by the way, beating Tennessee on the road in a true road game. But
really nice win.
So you're looking at it now, and is the ceiling now top two in the conference? Is the tournament in expectation at this point? Probably. I mean, probably it is. Wouldn't you think?
I would think.
We're getting to the point where this seems like a team that, wait, they didn't make the tournament. That would be really disappointing. Now, we're not quite there yet. Let's get through the non-con. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens with VCU. And then let's get a little bit into the conference. But I bet you they believe that in the room. We're going back to the tournament this year. I mean, think about it. Think about what they did last year. And
of
now
course.
You've got, you know, I don't know who I think there are a handful of leaders on the team. Eric Stevenson's become the shot maker, the offensive guy. Grant Sherfield in spurts. Grant Sherfield has shown some things, and I don't know how much people heard or listened to reaction after the game, but Marshall saying that was Sherfield's by far best game, not because it was the game he scored the most points in, because he did everything else that he needs to do. I mean, we're seeing these guys develop. Bruce, we're 10 games into the year. It took a whole lot longer than 10 games for the freshmen last year to get it.
Of course.
They're getting it sooner this year. And the guys last year that it took a little longer with are elevating their games, oh, by the way, too. Here's what excites me. This year I'm excited about, of course. We all should be. Where's this team going to be in a year, 2 years?
Well, that's,
are you kidding
that's
me?
The point, right?
You're going to roll out 10 juniors and seniors in 2 years of this caliber and whatever they grow into? My goodness.
When you have a team, and this is one thing that Greg has always done, he did it at Winthrop. I remember watching his teams in the NCAA tournament back in 06. When they should have beaten Tennessee and faced Wichita State in the second round of the NCAA tournament. But you could see that they had guys that were physically mature and that made others around them, especially the younger players, accountable, held them accountable. A year ago, where did all that accountability come from? Came from coaches. Anytime that you have players making the younger players, the newer guys in the program, accountable, you're so much further ahead in the game. When it's not always coming from getting banged over the head by a coach, because that's the only place it can come from. When it comes from a player, when it comes from Van Vliet or Baker or Wessel or Carl Hall or fill in those kind of guys that have played for Greg for years and years that he's always had in abundance. It makes it easier to coach your basketball team because the pressure from within to be accountable comes from fellow players. It makes a big difference, I think. But now we're looking at, we have the luxury of being gluttonous. Fans have the luxury of being gluttonous. Players have got to play each and every game, and they can't mess up. They got to go play against VCU and Abilene Christian. They got to finish against Ole Miss and in between their beat an ECU team to start the conference. But what is it, 13 games? Is it 13 games? So, I mean, whatever the number is. So you're looking at 11 or 12 and 1 potential. That's what this has done. It's put that on the table. So now all of a sudden you're looking at potentially 26 and 5. Are you looking at 27-4. How many games will Wichita State be favored and or be basically a toss-up game in? They probably will be an underdog at Temple, probably an underdog at Houston, probably an underdog at Cincinnati.
I don't know anymore.
I don't know any more than that.
I think that's right. I mean, it's hard to imagine going through there, but they're, you know, as long as the arrow is pointed up, which it very clearly is, got to be careful to some degree. You know, they were trailing Oklahoma and went on a run to go back ahead. And Oklahoma's good, but they're not great. Oklahoma State is good, but they had some injuries. VCU will be good, but not great, and you get them at home. But and I say none of that to temper the excitement that's going on.
You got to be careful, but you're right.
Got to bring reality into focus a little bit. But what I think is there's almost zero chance that the team by the end of the year is not better than it is on December 16th. And on December 16th, it's better than most predicted.
Yes.
And on December 16th, we're seeing signs of where it could get to. I don't have any doubt that, God forbid injury or anything like that, the team will clearly be better because of what they've already shown us in the first 10 games, how much better they've gotten between games 1 and 10. What about games 10 and 20, 20 and 30?
Right.
How good will they be? I think there's some of that, but there will no doubt be – I mean, I don't think they're –
going to lose
a handful of road games to teams. There will be blips on there that are, you know, that's a loss they shouldn't have. I mean,
because
if they don't have any of those,
teams,
then I don't know what kind of conversation we need to have. But
because
that
league
will come.
Is capable. The league is capable. It's not as top heavy as it was a year ago, but Wichita State, Houston, Cincinnati are all top 45 type teams. UConn is right there. They're a top 50-55 type team. Temple is a top 55 team. They're off to a really good start and have some nice wins. SMU is intriguing. Tulane is obviously improved. UCF has only lost a couple of games and have some decent wins. The middle section of this league looks pretty good.
Tulane and KJ Lawson will be better than they are.
Yeah.
Better than they were last year. There's no question.
Right. And Memphis is, I think, the team to beat, and I think we understand that. And just because their personnel, and especially when they get all their pieces back, is going to be better than anyone else in the rest of the league. But you still got to go play, and it's. I think it's just going to be really interesting to see. Very intriguing, very intriguing. What'd you think of the continual booing for Austin Reeves?
Did you expect anything less?
No, I get it. I guess at some point I was kind of like, okay, we get it. Can we be done with it?
I don't know when that came.
I don't know.
Shocker fans take on the identity of the Shocker program. It's why it's worked. This current construction has worked. Nobody finds a chip on the shoulder better than Greg Marshall, which trickles down to his players, certainly. That's fair. Would you say that's fair?
Yep, I would.
And then on to the fans. Shocker fans are typically pretty nice to transfers, at least in the ones that I've seen come through the arena and even ones that have played well against them. Mm-hmm. But Austin Reeves was a different situation. He didn't transfer out because of a lack of playing time or opportunity. He had every opportunity, and Shocker fans, like Greg Marshall, like the program, felt and feel slighted that how could you ever not want to be here? So it was sort of a don't let the door hit you on the way out kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully expected that sort of reaction. Absolutely, I did, because, I mean, you get why the program is that way. Imagine the team last year had he been there scoring 17 a game that he's scoring now for Oklahoma. It would have been a totally different scenario, right?
Sure. Sure.
I think it didn't fit. It wasn't a fit. It was weird. It was unexpected. Nobody expected it. And, you know, we tried to goad it out of Greg a little bit last week in the weekly availability. You know, what do you have for Austin Reaves? And if he just kind of smirked and didn't say much, which doesn't surprise you. But you know it was a conversation happening
sure.
in the locker room. Very clearly
was.
Eric Stevenson, after the game, sort of admitted to that added layer there and how it personally has motivated him a little bit. So I'm fine with it. It is what it is. Like, I don't expect anything less out of the Shocker fan base. It's a passionate, fiery, it's not, you know, college basketball is treated sort more like pro basketball here. So I was fine with it. I didn't expect anything less. Would I have been booing a college kid? Probably not. I mean, no. I mean, I know I wouldn't. But I don't care that, I mean, whatever. Like, it's okay. I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he'll be all right. And it just goes and sort of fits the mold of, I think, what the Shocker identity is.
Well said. Absolutely. Let's get Fred in here real quickly on the Twin Peaks Scenic View hotline, and then we owe you a break. Fred, what do you got?
Good morning, guys. I just
morning.
Got a quick comment and an opinion I'd like to state. Fred VanVleet didn't start at point guard until just before the tournament when Malcolm Armstead went to the coach and said, hey, coach, I need to be playing point or off guard, and Fred needs to start the point. I think we went to the Final Four that year. My comment or my opinion is that we found our starting point guard in the Oklahoma game when Grant came off the bench and led us into that 12-point run because he exhibited the kind of abilities that we need at point guard, and I don't think Bruton has some of those. So my opinion is we're way ahead of schedule for a point guard freshman versus right. Fred VanVleet. So that's my comment.
Okay, Fred,
thanks. Let me ask you this. Thank you, Fred. Yeah. Let me ask you this to pinball that a little bit. My guess is by the time Fred took over, he was playing the level of defense that Marshall commands out of a starter, correct?
Yeah.
Sherfield's getting there, but that was clearly his best defensive game. So I think that's the step he's got to make. But, I mean, he's got the skills. There's no question.
I like Sherfield and Burton in combo.
I
right now, I don't have an issue with that combo at all. I think they bring different kinds of traits, and I think it allows Greg a little bit of freedom at that point guard position to do some different things. Depth is, of course, another tremendous attribute for this team, and Greg has always used depth extremely well. All right, we'll take a break. Be back in just a moment. Plenty more to get to. Baseball's hot stove was burning pretty good yesterday. Couple of big names going to new places. We'll talk about it as we continue in a moment.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.